I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinking, and please exercise that independent thinking here when you're here. No knee-jerk reactions based on not having information. It's kind of interesting, and when you talk about politics or things subjective like that, I guess it could be entertainment and things like that, but particularly in politics, it's interesting to me that people who know very little will argue hardcore with somebody who actually does a lot of research and understands things about the system. People don't go up to a scientist. If you're not a scientist, you don't go up and argue biology with a biologist. You just assume, hey, this is somebody who has spent a lot of time studying biology. They know biology. I took a couple of classes in high school. I'm really not qualified to argue with them. You'd say the same thing to a physicist. Most people don't go into their doctor and question everything. Now, if you listen to my next hour, you might need to start asking some questions. But we just assume the doctor knows more about the body and they know more about pharmaceuticals. We assume that the lawyer knows something about the law. And so we, but in politics, boy, you can have somebody who really understands something about it. And people are able to just go, no, that's just completely wrong. With no information whatsoever. No, that's completely wrong. Or this is the way it should be. Really? You've read up on that? Well, no, I mean, I understand. Yeah. Anyway, less knee-jerk reactions to things. More informed decisions would suit us well. Next hour, it is Wednesday, so from 10 to 11 o'clock today, I will do my Hump Day Health segment. This is about taking control of your health, stop being a victim and just a helpless person when it comes to your life, to your health. Let's see what I've got here. I've got one of the things I have said that I probably need to add a whole nother hour to some portion of the show during the week to concentrate just on mental health. But until I do that, I'm going to put some of that stuff into the actual health thing, because your mental health affects your physical health. And so we're going to talk about a couple of healthy things, just as ripped from the headlines from a Daily Mail article in the UK about one thing that can make you healthier that we all really, really enjoy. And it's essentially effortless when it happens. So we'll talk about that. I got the flip side, the things that might be actually harming your mental health and causing you to be sick. And then I'm going to get into dementia. There was a headline that talked about the looming dementia crisis. And one of the listeners, Brian, sent me a great piece I'm going to play from a Today show that shows people that were transplanted from one area where Alzheimer's and dementia were almost non-existent. And these same people with the same genes, the same human beings, were transplanted into the United States. And within not too long of a period of time within this family, dementia started cropping up. And this is what I'm trying to convince people of every week. People think that there's some fatalistic idea that if one of your parents had a cognitive decline at the end of their life, that you're just doomed to that. And you sit back and you just wait, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've got this, I'm cursed with this gene or cursed with this heredity. I hate to tell you, or I love to tell you, actually, that's not the case. So many things that happen to us are environmental, they are lifestyle, they are toxins and poor nutrition. And if you have people that have gone before you, particularly that you've seen things like dementia or cancers or anything like that, you can control a lot of that, an awful lot of that. There's some unlucky people out there, but An awful lot of that is within your control. I spent an hour a week talking about it, and boy, am I ready to do that today. I stepped into a little bit of a hornet's nest over the last few days, questioning the idea of whether or not we should support Cindy Hyde-Smith. What would be the alternative? What would be the downside to... And people just... I've never suggested anybody go out and vote for for Mike Espy. I've never, ever said that. I've just said, what if people didn't show up to the polls for Cindy Hyde-Smith because we're tired of the establishment picking our candidate again? This is not the first time. A caller pointed out last week that most of us have never voted for an open seat Republican. You notice that? They always retire or something happens during the middle of a term. They appoint somebody and then they run as an incumbent. There's never... just an open seat where somebody fills out an entire term and then they give it to the people and say, okay, well, this person's done serving. Go pick somebody. A robust primary period. No, that doesn't happen here in Mississippi. They spoon feed us candidates. So I've made this argument, this thought project, and it's not catching fire. I'll say that. Most people disagree with me. But it got me thinking yesterday, what is the least that you would be willing to accept from the establishment Republican Party in Mississippi who spoon feeds you a candidate? Where's the bar there? As we look at this, and I've heard callers to the station both at my show and at other shows that say, well, we've got to get behind Cindy Hyde-Smith. No, she's not great. No, we don't particularly like her, but we can't have Mike Espy. We've got to get behind the Republican to make sure that there's another Republican in the Senate. If you don't like her, I mean, what is the line that could be crossed? Is there even a bottom to this? See, most of us know, particularly watching from the conservative side or the Republican side of things, we can look at the black community in the Democratic Party and realize they're not served by the Democrats. The Democrats take the black vote for granted. And there's a lot of conservatives out there listening to me right now say that, and they go, yeah, they sure do. I don't know why black people keep voting for the Democratic Party. They don't care about them. They're not doing anything. The results for them are terrible, but they just can't get off that plantation. The Democrats can't let any of them escape. They tell them they've got to vote Democrat. And we all see that objectively, right? You don't think that goes on both sides? So when the establishment gives you a candidate, is there any line that's low enough that you would finally withdraw your support? And I started thinking about it. It's funny. Mississippians do not demand a conservative, for sure. We've definitely said, well, we don't care if you're conservative. You can be a moderate. You can be a rhino. We've already accepted that. What about pro-choice? Could the establishment Republicans in Mississippi give you a pro-choice candidate and you would still vote for him or her? And I'm not saying this is Cindy Hyde-Smith. This is a hypothetical. And you know what? The answer is yes, you would vote for her. Why? Because here's what the argument would be. Well, I can't believe she or he, I can't believe they're pro-choice. But we know the Democrats pro-choice, at least with the Republican, we get blah, 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 blah. So I would say pro-choice. They could give you a pro-choice candidate and you would take it. What about anti-Second Amendment? Would Mississippi actually tolerate an anti-Second Amendment candidate? And I say the answer to that is yes, because you know what Republicans would do to justify still supporting the establishment candidate, even if they were a gun grabber? They would say, well, we know the Democrat wants to take our guns. I mean, I can't stand the fact that we've got this gun grabber that they've given us that we have to vote for. But we know that the Democrat really wants to come after our guns. And at least if we vote Republican, look, they'll give us blah, 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 blah. What about somebody that cheats on their spouse? Cheats on their taxes, caught taking bribes. You get my point? I think Mississippi has no floor. If there's an R behind the name, the argument will always be, yeah, they're not great, but we got to keep that Democrat out of there. Yeah, they cheat on their spouse, but we know those Democrats have got no moral compass. Yeah, What if the establishment Republican Party gave you a candidate going into an election, running against a Democrat that had somehow cheated the election system? They had cheated a real conservative out of it. You know, we watched this on the Democratic side. Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party cheated Bernie Sanders out of the nomination. And I laughed and laughed as I watched the pathetic Democrats line up behind Hillary Clinton, thinking, all you people, they just totally took what you wanted and threw it out the window. So would Republicans do the same thing? If you had an establishment, kind of a rhino person, maybe somebody just hypothetically that actually voted for Hillary Clinton in 2008. Let's just pretend, a hypothetical, of course. And you found out that they had actually cheated a real conservative out of it to maintain their power structure and get that rhino, that team player for the establishment, up to D.C. Would you put up with that? Apparently the answer is yes. Because if you look at what happened in the 2014 election for Thad Cochran's seat, you remember when they told you Thad Cochran, oh yeah, he's gonna serve out his entire term. Yeah, a vote for Thad Cochran today is a vote for 6 years of strong, conservative Thad Cochran leadership in Washington, D.C. They knew he wasn't going to serve that amount of time. They knew darn good and well. They just didn't want to lose control of that seat. The establishment did not. So they put up a placeholder, Thad Cochran, until they could figure out how to get it done where he retires, and he retires just long enough into his term to where it doesn't become another just flat-out open seat election. What if the candidate that was given to you, there were rumors that at some point the party had paid or encouraged Democrats to actually cross party lines to vote for the establishment candidate to hold the seat? I don't know if that's ever happened. I'm kind of dancing around this, so maybe I should just be more clear. The 2014 election that narrowly had Thad Cochran beat out Chris McDaniel stunk. In a lot of ways, I can't even remember right now. I should have done a little bit more research. But if you remember the 2014 election, Chris McDaniel was within a hair's breadth, and there was a lot of rumors about a lot of funky things going on in that election. And they retained the seat, and now they've appointed Cindy Hyde-Smith, and Cindy Hyde-Smith's going to work. So I'm going to leave this topic for today. I've got other things to get to. I know this is not a popular sentiment. I'm just wondering, and you can call in. The Mazda Jackson phone line here is 601-879-0002. Is there any line that could be crossed? Anything that the candidate could do that they're given to you? If the Republican candidate is facing off against a Democrat, is there any possibility that you wouldn't support the Republican because of something just so horrendous you couldn't stomach it? Because if it's not pro-choice, it's not a gun grabber, it's not cheating on an election to maintain the seat, I'm just curious as to what that bar is. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
It appears after the midterms, there's going to be shakeups in the Trump administration. This has been thought of for a while now. It's been speculated by the media. It's so funny because, you know, I read stories. They'll come out of the New York Times, And they've got some good stories. I mean, they do some investigative stuff. There's some foreign policy stuff that they do that is actually good. And it's amazing to me that a newspaper, the paper of record, as they call themselves, has so badly destroyed their credibility that when I read an article by the New York Times, and I am pretty sure it's pretty accurate. And again, this is mostly on foreign policy stuff. Their domestic stuff is so jaded and so biased. But they've got good reporters at the New York Times. Believe it or not, there are still some people that get down into some serious issues that are good. And particularly, as I say, foreign policy stuff. I don't even want to use them as a source. I want to find another source that corroborates what they're saying, because they've so delegitimized themselves as a news organization that it's almost pointless to use them. But outlets like the New York Times and others have been saying for a while there's dissension in the Trump administration and that shakeups are going to come. I think it's probably true. Now, other organizations have said this as well. The rumor is right now that Christian Nielsen, the head of Homeland Security, is on her way out. Possibility that General Kelly, the chief of staff, is also on his way out. That one sounds like they have dust-ups from time to time, and it hasn't been, you know, they've called for his, that he was going to leave and quit many, many times. But we're going to find out now after the midterms. You know, it's that is a time that things shake up. I guess my question is, you know, I have a sympathy for Donald Trump in this area, that as an outsider and not part of the establishment, it's got to be really tough to try to find anybody who knows how Washington, D.C. operates that is not just a deep state turncoat, you know, anybody that you could trust. I started out thinking that it was really not going to be great that he had Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner in the White House with him. And then I really, as time went on, I went, well, I understand it. At least he feels like he can trust these people. But we'll see if Kelly's out. The problem that I have is, and the question I have is, I question a lot of Donald Trump's picks. John Bolton as the head of the National Security. I mean, John Bolton, the architect of the Iraq War, how does the candidate that campaigned on disagreeing with the Iraq War and talking about what an absolute horrible, I mean, Donald Trump, I believe, almost to quote him verbatim, he said the Iraq War was the biggest strategic mistake the United States has ever made. And then suddenly he makes the guy that was the head of that, the top of his national security team. It doesn't seem to make much sense. But Steve Mnuchin, former Goldman Sachs banker, a globalist to be sure, and Cohen, who's at I can't even remember his first name, but Gary Cohen was his national economic advisor, another Goldman Sachs guy. These guys are globalists to be sure, and he brought him in as very, you know, part of his financial team. So I question some of the picks. We'll see exactly what the shakeout is. Now, what I'm waiting for is, you know, they said after the midterms, that's when we were really going to start seeing the perp walks. That's when Hillary Clinton was going to be indicted. That's when all of the, you know, all of the criminals and the deep staters and the traitors and everything were going to be marched out. And I'm not saying it has to happen this week. Midterms, it's still fresh. It was only a week ago. There's still some seats to be decided. So I'll wait. But next year we should see these perp walks, right? I mean, I've been listening to this for 2 years. They're definitely going to be indicting all of these people. It's going to be a massive shakeup. And look, I'm ready for it. I'm cheering for it. I just don't see any evidence of it. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes. How are you, Mike?
Hey, good. How you doing?
All right. Mike, to answer your question, yesterday I received a call from my sister. She's in another state. And she mentioned to me, she asked me, she said, did you hear about this thing with Stephen Hyde Smith, you know, the statement of with the hanging and all of that?
Right.
And I said, yes, I have. And she said, well, you know, how do you feel about it? And I told her, you know, frankly, I have no real bad feelings about that at all. I told her because I said, when I was in the military, it was a young man came to me, and I knew him. I knew the kind of person he is. And he said, you know, one thing, you'll complain. Him and I worked together. He said, you know, you'll complain if they hung you with a new rope. Now, he's white and I'm black, and I said, you know, but I knew him. And I knew that he just was making a general statement. Frankly, it got to a point where I thought it was pretty good thing to say, and I even used it later on myself. You know, I tell people, you know, you'll complain if they hung you with a needle, you know, but it was just a general statement. Never thought much about it. And I'm thinking that maybe she never thought much about it either. But to get to the the answer to you asked about this, I also told my sister this. I said, you know, I may not vote for Cindy Highsmith, but I will not vote for Espy. My sister's a Democrat.
Yeah.
And I said, but I want to tell you why. It's not because of anything except for the fact that he is a pro-choice, and he's not pro-life.
Yeah.
And I will not vote for, I don't care if I found out Cindy Highsmith or any other person running for office is a pro-choice person, they will not receive my vote. Now, I do vote for some Democrat, but I don't know that they are pro-choice or pro-life. But if I find out that they are, they can forget it, whether they're Republican or Democrat. Forget about Matt.
Curious to know about Cindy Hyde-Smith. I mean, you know, obviously she was a Democrat at one time, and not all Democrats are there are pro-life Democrats, particularly in the South. But I am curious. I mean, the woman voted for Hillary Clinton, you know, so I wonder if she's changed her view and gone from pro-choice to pro-life. Was she a pro-life Democrat? I really don't even know the answer to that, but it's just kind of curious.
Mike, excuse me for cutting you off. Yeah, I heard you say that she voted for Hillary. I was listening to another radio show when she was doing, I was talking on it, and they asked her about that, and she said, now this is her reply, she said there was an outside, I think they call it a PAC, that put that information out, and it's not true. So she never has voted for Hillary Clinton, that she never has. Now, this is what she said on radio, and if I find out that she did, then that means she lied, because I heard her on radio say she never has done that. It was a fact either from somewhere in the Midwest or something that came out and started that rumor.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was established. I'm ready to retract that if it's not true. But, you know, I mean, I got to tell you, party loyalties are party loyalties. And even if she had voted for Barack Obama, I mean, if she was a Democrat in 2008, she voted for one of them. And, you know, so it's almost like you can't blame her because Republicans probably hold their nose and votes for some Republican presidents that they don't particularly care for. But you can't then distance yourself from. And I haven't heard the story of how she had this tremendous change of heart to go from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. Now, we can see that she's garnered a great deal of power in the Republican Party, but I don't know the story. Maybe I need to hear the story of how she just really turned her back on liberalism and the Democratic Party and came to this awakening for the Republicans, because I haven't seen that.
Mike, I'm going to hang up after this, but I want you to look into one thing for me that maybe your listeners are unaware of. I think it was the 2012 election for Mr. Obama that at the Democrat National Convention, they voted three times to leave God out of their platform. And twice they had a voice vote. Twice they voted. It sounded to me like there were more votes saying leave it off. But the man who was running, who was taking the votes, I couldn't. And he voted the third time, and he said, okay, they said leave it on. Because I think that they knew that if they would have dropped God out of their prayer, Mr. Obama probably wouldn't have won his second term. That's why they voted three times. Somebody there remember, I was watching it that night, because I was really shocked to hear all of these people that were voting to drop God out of their presence.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
even mention it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mike,
I'll take a look.
Mike, sir, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Willie. Appreciate that. No, I'll take a look at that and see.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, thanks. All right, got another caller. Let me see if I can get them real quick here. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Okay.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, what's going on?
Are you there?
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I just wanted to, after that last caller, Cindy Hyde has been endorsed by Right to Life, but she voted to fund Planned Parenthood. right?
Yeah, she did. She did talk about that. Now, what I don't know is, because I saw that clip that was going around too, where she said it. The one thing that was suspicious about it was, you know, they cut her off right. She was going to say something after she said she voted for a bill that included funding for Planned Parenthood. I'd like to know what she said after that, because here's my suspicion. I'll bet you Roger Wicker voted for that bill too, because I doubt there's much difference between the voting record of Cindy Hyde Smith and Roger Wicker, because they both get their marching orders from Mitch McConnell.
Okay, another thing, she claims to be for the Second Amendment, but she sent the letter to the AG to restrict concealed carry down at the fairground.
Yeah, right.
Isn't
exactly
that so?
Yes, that's true.
Just about anything that Cindy Hyde says, if you will check the facts, she is not giving the full truth about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I'm asking the question today. What's the low bar? Because what I've heard is, and you know, I don't know if you've listened to the show, but I've done this apparently very controversial thing of saying, what happens if SB wins this time? What's the downside? And there may be some upsides if we break the stranglehold of the establishment on here. If SB goes to Congress as a first term senator in a minority party, he's basically going to be completely powerless. And then in 2 years, the seat comes back open, and Republicans at about 60% of Mississippi would have a chance to snatch that seat right back, no damage done. Now, there's a little bit of risk to that, but if she goes in, she's there for 20 years, 30 years, between her and Roger Wicker, and then they'll do something else. They'll spoon-feed us another candidate. My question is, when do people – everybody complains about the establishment and the kingmakers, the good old boys and girls network in Mississippi that picks these moderate, rhino, non-conservative Republicans and sends them to Washington, D.C., but we're not willing to do anything about it. I mean, and I'm just wondering if there's a bar low enough to where if people would finally say enough is enough.
Well, Mike, I can tell you that the way we got to this election is just like you said. You know, they put up an old infirm man that wasn't going to be able to make it. And
they knew it.
That's exactly what happened. And I heard our governor yesterday say, Cindy Hyde is going to be the senator for life.
Right.
Well, we just got through with that.
Right.
Somebody was up there 40 years, and he was probably not in his right mind half the time, and that's what we got.
Yeah, and it seems like we're going to go down that path again. The resistance that I have to even mentioning to dare to mention that maybe another party ends up winning this one for a couple of years, and there's some risk to it, but I'm just telling you, man, we've been doing the same thing for so long. There's a lack of creativity in the Mississippi voter.
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote,
yeah.
But I want them to think about something, that our party in Mississippi has pulled wool over our eyes.
You're right.
They need to just take a long look at it. That's the main thing. They need to reason for themselves instead of listening to the governor and the party, Lucian Smith, and all those folks.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think they need to be put into their place and realize that people aren't going to put up with it anymore, but the chances of that are slim. Hey, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye. All right, got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
Hey, whether or not you agree with me on any of the political stuff, there's plenty of people that seem to be pretty mad at me, judging by some of the phone calls I've gotten, some of the texts, Facebook messages about the Cindy Hyde Smith bill. So even if you're mad at me there, hey, stay tuned for next hour for this Hump Day Health segment. It will help you. It will help you. It will make you feel better. It'll make you more mentally alert. It'll make us all. I mean, I'm telling you, this is Hump Day Health every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. It's good for you. It's just good for you. So disagree with me politically, but take in some of the good advice from that segment. Got another caller on the phone. Hey, caller, are you with me? Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. I didn't push the right button there. Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. Listen, Mike, you brought out a point that I have been stressing for some time now. Cindy Hyde is campaigning as a lifelong Republican. That's the biggest lie that she could ever tell right there off the bat.
Well, we live in the day where you just say things and they're supposed to be true. There's no facts anymore. We just say things.
People are grabbing hold of that and running with it. And if you really pay attention, she don't have a true platform. And that's what I have a problem about, people gravitating over now saying, oh, we got to vote for her. We got to vote for her. We got to vote for her. Mike, I'm a grown man. And one thing I learned in life, I'm going to tell you now, one thing about me, I don't have no gray lines, but I'm either with you or I'm not. So there's no way that at one point I was totally against you. Now all of a sudden I'm going to vote for you. That don't work, man. In my boat, that don't fly, man. That's like me playing offense for one team and then I'm playing defense for the other.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, seriously, it's that's happening like a whole lot around here. Like you said, when she get up there in D.C., she's gonna be there like for 20 years. Now she's also campaigning saying, I voted for Trump 100% since I've been here.
Yeah,
she ain't even been up there a whole freaking term, buddy. And all I'm saying is that, man, people ought to wake up, man, and recognize that. The truth when they hear it and see it, man, it's sad.
Well, either that, or as I've said for the past several days, people, if this is the route we want to go down, we just want to, by all means necessary, make sure the Democrat does not get that seat. And I understand people's desire for that.
Right.
You know,
right.
I get that. But if we're willing to continue to go down this road of rhino, moderate, political establishment candidates, then we all need to shut up about term limits.
Right.
We need to shut up about rhinos. We need to
right.
shut up about the establishment. You can't complain in one sentence and then say you got to support this rhino Republican. I mean, it
right.
just doesn't make any sense. It's going to drive people to insanity. You just
right.
just go ahead and tell the establishment won. They win. Let's just go ahead and admit it to ourselves and get on with our life and say we are a rhino Republican state and we always will be. Let's admit it to ourselves and then just move on with our lives.
Right. Man, Brian, get behind. I want to make this comment, man. Brian got behind her and just said, you know, pushing it like, well, she didn't do nothing wrong. Anybody with common sense knows that you don't make a idiotic statement like she made. And I don't believe she's prejudiced. I don't believe she's racist.
Yeah.
I don't believe any of that about her. But, man, to be a representative, that is one of the most idiotic statements you could ever make. And I know, and you know yourself, if Mike Espy would have said, I follow Barack Obama to a Holocaust shooting, man, they would have ate him alive.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't, you know, one of the things that was really freeing to me in my life, as in my personal life, was realizing it's okay to be wrong. Realizing that it is okay to admit to other people that you did something really stupid. And I don't know why politicians, and this includes everybody from Trump all the way down, doesn't just come out and just go, I know, boy, was that dumb. What was I thinking? I think people would appreciate that honesty. But when everybody has to entrench every statement that's made, whether it's Robert De Niro or Donald Trump or Cindy Hyde Smith or Nancy Pelosi, everybody has to weigh in on that comment based on their party affiliation. You know, they just it's just she made a dumb comment. It doesn't have to be racist. It was just stupid.
Right.
She should say, I don't know what I was doing. Sometimes I say some of the dumbest things and then move on.
Right.
And everybody would say, yeah, right. You know, but
right.
Anyway,
exactly. And just being honest, you know yourself, man, being a politician, one of the greatest things that they do, they have to speak. They are representatives and they speaking for a particular group of people or possibly a state. I mean, but if you are a representative, one of your high points need to be spokes. Being able to speak, amen.
Right.
If you're a spokesperson, I think you ought to be able to articulate words, articulate thoughts and stuff. And she needs some serious training. But even in her cover interview, all she could say is I issued a statement.
Yeah.
I issued a statement, and that's what we're going to stand with. And she got pissed off, man. I'm just telling you now, when you represent the state of Mississippi, man, you got to be willing to stand. You can't be getting up there, getting upset, and getting mad just because somebody asking you a question. You got to be able to have some kind of, what is that word I'm looking for? You got to be able to you got to be able, man, to have some kind of reserve, man, to a point of where you're not sitting up there just all bent out of shape just because somebody asked you a question.
Right, right. Well, they're above us. They're above us. They're insulated by these parties. And in Mississippi, they can give you what the Republican Party can give you whatever they got, whatever they want. They take for granted conservatives' votes in Mississippi. They just say it doesn't matter what we give them. All we got to do is tell them it's us against the Democrats, and they won't even – they don't care. They'll line up like well-behaved children. Hey, man, thanks for the call. I got to run to a break. Thanks so much. All right. We'll take a quick break. I'll be right back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. If there is any value to this show, I hope it is the fact that I can get you a little bit deeper into the headlines, because most of us don't have enough time, and most people aren't nerds like me, political nerds, to sit there and read stories through and through and decipher them, but I'm just that kind of guy for you. There's a headline today I saw. I'm going to do this on the show tomorrow. I'll remind people if for any reason you cannot tune in or you're, you know, coming and going from the show, you can always get WYAB on the TuneIn app, number one. You can also get stream us live on WYAB.com. And my show is podcast each day. I guess after I get off the air, I put the show recorded. You can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. That's P-O-D-B-E-A-N, Podbean, themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. Or you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. I want people to hear this show tomorrow because I don't have time for it today. I want to get into the health stuff. It's a good palate cleanser. I'm thrilled to be doing something different next hour. But here's the headline off of Drudge that I saw, and my spidey sense went off. It says, study, American military advantage has eroded. China-Russia threat. This is one of the top headlines on Drudge today. Now, most people will read that and move on. Drudge has got a lot of headlines. You get kind of an overview of the news by looking at headlines. And maybe they'll even click through to the story and see it. And what the story tells you is that the American military is now losing ground to China and Russia. But I did a quick little investigation, but I didn't have enough time before I came on air today to do it. I'll do it by tomorrow. A quick investigation of the group that put together this study that has prompted a top-of-the-page headline on Drudge about our military falling behind. I bet you can't guess what some of the people on that study commission, where they're implanted, what their professional life is really like. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm telling you, this is valuable information. It should shape the way people see the world. I got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Just a couple of things regarding the Senate race. You know, one thing that really is depressing to me is this is all we got to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, your previous caller said that Cindy Hyde Smith had been campaigning as a lifelong Republican. No, she's campaigning as a lifelong conservative.
Conservative. You're right, and I meant to make that point. Yeah.
Let's don't. Which is even worse because she's closer to being a Republican than she is a conservative.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. Yeah. The Republican version of conservatism.
Right. She became a Republican at the same time a whole bunch of guys and women, men and women did, that were elected officials. When Haley Barbour was in the middle of turning the state of Mississippi to the Republican Party, a lot of them saw the opportunity and knew that this was the train to be on.
Oh, listen,
from where they were.
I can't sit here and allow you to make an accusation that politicians would be opportunist. And this, certainly,
I'm not making an accusation. I'm stating facts.
I'm sure they are all deeply held, you know, core beliefs of our elected officials. They'd never do anything for political expediency.
Well, and they all use that line of, you know, the Democrat Party left me, so I'm joining the Republicans because they're more in line with what I think.
Yeah, they're more in line with the levers of power.
The truth of the matter is the barber machine was helping them all get campaign funds, and he got enough changed over that he could change the legislature from D's to R's.
Yeah.
And ensure the Republicans are elected. But, you know, she's an appointed senator because the truth of the matter is I would be willing to bet that she was probably about number five or six on the list. The others all said, no, I don't want it. That she was not Governor Bryant's first choice.
Well, I've always wondered why that was the best they could do. I mean, I'd always understood because, I mean, regardless of what happens on the 27th, this is not going to be a popular pick. People are going to have to hold, a lot of people are going to hold their nose to go make this pick just to vote for an R.
Yeah, I've heard several names that were mentioned that turned it down, that didn't want anything to do with Washington, didn't want to have to fight that battle.
Yeah, yeah.
And some because they have grandiose plans of being the grand poobah in Mississippi.
Right.
It's a whole lot better to be the biggest fish in a small pond than go to be the little fish in the big pond.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
And so she was like way down the list. She was the first one that said yes. So,
yeah.
So that's who they're stuck with.
Right. And who Mississippi is.
If you remember back, when she was appointed, President Trump and the White House was not real happy about it.
Right.
They did not endorse. They weren't jumping up down going, oh, yay, happy days.
Yeah.
They weren't, that wasn't on their radar.
Right, and then they had to do this political thing of coming down here and endorsing her, which I think is just really, you know, it's just sad. It speaks to the whole system that just perpetuates itself, the nastiness of politics, which is, you know, you got to go down there and support this person so the Senate will work with you, all this bargaining. And I just don't know, did that really have an effect on Mississippians? Did Mississippians look at that Trump endorsement and make their mind up on that? Because, as I said, I wish Trump had gone up there and endorsed her and then at least given a big wink, you know, just something to signal people, hey,
yeah,
I've got to do this, but y'all make your own decision.
You know, she was picked by Governor Bryant. Governor Bryant has been a supporter of the president from day one, basically, or early, very early, and has had a lot of conversations and a lot of been a lot of help to President Trump campaigning. So President Trump, as a payback, came and endorsed Cindy Hyde Smith.
Yeah,
that's all that was just, okay, I'm here because Governor Bryant asked me to be here and begged me to come and do this. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, well,
President Trump played politics, just even though he claims to not be a politician.
He is.
Played politics.
Yeah, and he's a politician now, and people need to understand that. He has to be. I mean, he has to be. It's a little depressing, but he has to be. But, you know, the bottom line is whether or not Mississippi is about to wade into just saying, look, and as I said, we just need to admit it, the establishment won. Because if she wins, she goes for 20, 30 years. Wicker will resign at some point, but he's got plenty of time to serve, too. We just got to admit, anti-establishment in Mississippi has no traction. We're ready for rubber stamp rhino Republicans. I mean, we just at least should admit it to ourselves. Hey, got to run. We got top of the hour break. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. All right. When we come back, I am going to be doing my Hump Day Health segment. Lots of good information there. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, let me help you out of that wilderness. Be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back, and it is Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we take a little break from current events, from the nasty world of politics, and get into something that's actually useful for you, and this is the Hump Day Health segment, Natural Health News You Can Use. As I start every show, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, not a surgeon, not a therapist, not a nurse, not a biologist. I have no credentials whatsoever to advise anybody on their health. What I am is a guy that reclaimed my own health by accident. When I switched to organic foods and started paying attention to what I put into my body, and I'm healthier now than I was 20 years ago. Aging does not mean you have to submit yourself and just accept the fact that chronic diseases and feeling worse is your fate. I've not seen a doctor or bought a pharmaceutical now in 13 years, not a single sick day. I'm telling you, there's power behind this. And we're going to talk a little bit today not only about some of the nutritional aspects, but the mental aspects. I do believe I should probably do an entire hour during the week, or maybe once a month. It's just a mental health thing. We are a weird society right now, and people can look around and see whether it's the 250 million antidepressant prescriptions that are written in the United States. Now, that's not 250 million people on antidepressants. People that get multiple prescriptions for different things, we can just see that there is this level of anxiety and stress in our country right now. And you would think with all of the advancements and all of the advantages we have in this country, that would not be the case. But mental health is not just about being happy and functioning well and being cheerful, but mental health has a great deal to do with your physical health too. And the connection between mind and body is often ignored. If you had talked to me about this 15 years ago, I would have given you a lot of woo-woo stuff. Now suddenly, and not suddenly, but over the past part of my journey into natural health, I meditate. I've found that tremendously powerful. Even though you'll hear me get pretty fired up on the show and get into the politics stuff, things like meditation, and I think that that's actually enhanced my physical health. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and then take that mind part to other logical step, which is there was an article I ran across that was talking about the looming dementia crisis, looking at this almost as an epidemic. We hear a lot about Alzheimer's and dementia. It's not, don't be fatalistic about those kinds of things. One thing I can't stand, and I've kind of been like this with my kids in particular, don't complain about something, but do nothing about it. Nobody wants to hear somebody constantly bemoan something, and then when they're given the opportunity to change it, they won't do anything. They won't take any actions to change it, but they like to continually complain about it. And what it is that people have all this fear of things like breast cancer or other cancers or, you know, heart attack, stroke, dementia, these kinds of things. Well, I'm telling you, an hour here every single week, there are things you can do. Don't just sit back in fear. I ran across this story to start us off on a little bit of the mental health thing, just because I thought this was interesting. And to show you kind of the overall healthy state for people. This is a story on the Daily Mail. Falling in love can make the world seem a better place, but it can also have a major impact on your health. A wealth of new research has found that romance can help improve a range of conditions from high blood pressure to pain and allergic reactions. Falling in love is the result of activity in 12 areas of the brain working together, according to researchers at the University of Western Virginia and California. They say the first change in brain activity began within one-fifth of a second of becoming smitten. There's a surge of chemicals such as dopamine, which helps to regulate emotional responses, and oxytocin, the cuddle hormone that induces feelings of trust and reduces anxiety. May explain why in a study in the Annals of Behavioral Medicine found that people in love tend to have lower blood pressure. And this story goes on through this. And one of the other reasons that I bring this up is because we actually have done, in large swaths of society, we've done the opposite of this. So this story is telling you that not only, you know, being in love when you first start, at the risk of sounding, of accessing my feminine side for a minute, you know, falling in love is exciting. Everybody knows this. Even guys won't admit it. But we have, you know, that first time when you're really with somebody and you say, man, we're really clicking, and you're excited to hear from them, and you're excited about going and doing things with them. You know, there is a feeling of well-being there. And this is a tougher one, because I can tell you to take vitamin D3. Pretty tough to say, hey, go out this afternoon and fall in love. I understand. We don't have as much control over that. But the mental aspect of this is in direct contrast with where society seems to be headed, or where we find ourselves already to a large degree, which is hate. I spoke the other day about the comment sections that I saw on articles about the California wildfires, where people were taking great delight in the fact that liberals' homes were burning down, that California was going to be destroyed, terms like libtard or whatever. On the left, we've seen this: every Trump supporter is a Nazi, every conservative is a racist. I mean, just this abject hate. Let me tell you something, that is having an effect on your physical health. It's not something talked about very often. People do understand if you get really angry about something, your blood pressure at that moment may go up. But there is a strong connection between living a balanced, happy, positive life and it manifesting itself in positive health outcomes. If you live in this world of constant hate, viewing people that you don't even know as mortal enemies and lashing out against them on social media, you are harming your physical health. It's not an easy, I can't point to a Facebook post you make and a cancer diagnosis. It's not a linear line, but I am telling you that the mind, you need to have some peace in your mind. Obviously, love is good for it. Tolerance for people, something that is known as mindfulness, which comes from, is part of the meditation practice, is something I encourage people to look at. It's a peaceful way to live life, and I'm telling you, it manifests itself in your physical health, not just your emotional health. On the flip side of love also, published in the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology, the most recent study linking poor mental health conditions to social media has added even more evidence to back up the theory. The researchers from the University of Pennsylvania intentionally designed their experiment to be more comprehensive than previous studies on the topic. Rather than relying on short-term lab data or self-reported questionnaires, they recruited 143 undergraduate students to share screenshots of their phone battery screens over a week to collect data on how much they were using social media apps, including Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. According to an in-depth report on the study done by this insider, subjects of the study were told to either maintain their typical social media behavior or limit it to 10 minutes a day. Alongside the screenshot data, the researchers also looked at how much the participants experienced fear of missing out, anxiety, depression, and loneliness. And this is where it gets to the meat of the thing. Quote, here's the bottom line, said Melissa G. Hunt, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania and lead author of the study. Using less social media than you normally would lead to significant decreases in both depression and loneliness. These effects are particularly pronounced for folks who were more depressed when they came into the study. It is a little ironic that reducing your use of social media actually makes you feel less lonely, she added. Some of the existing literature on social media suggests there's an enormous amount of social comparison that happens. When you look at other people's lives, particularly on Instagram, it's easy to conclude that everyone else's life is cooler or better than yours. Social media is not only damaging our interpersonal relationships, I think it's crippling our children and to large degrees if you're on their social interaction. I've witnessed this myself. I have two 17-year-olds, and I've watched them through their life and tried to encourage them to just go out and see people and get out of the house and do stuff. It's tough. It's a battle. But I've seen within their peers the lack of socialization. These things manifest in physical health. Social media is not doing you any favors. Take social media, spend a lot of time on social media, and include on that the people that go on and rant and argue with friends and family and make comments on YouTube videos or wherever, lashing out at strangers that you don't even know because they disagree with you for one reason or another. That is a perfect storm for not only poor mental health, but I'm telling you, it is manifesting in your physical health as well. Depression has known triggers and connections to actually bad health. Depression, anxiety, stress suppresses your own immune system. It will lead you to get more illnesses. If left unchecked and you participate in these activities and you live in this life of anger and hate and too much social media that causes loneliness and depression, this will manifest itself in things like cancers and other debilitating diseases. Understand the way you go through life mentally, the interactions you have with others, if they are based on love, that is good for your health. Even for strangers, I'm not even talking about the giddy falling in love. I'm talking about just accepting people for who they are, trying to get along, being as non-judgmental as you can if somebody's not doing something directly to you or not harming another person. Just because of an idea, you can still be accepting and non-judgmental with people. Going through life like that will dramatically improve your health. I can guarantee it. I don't think it's an accident that, number one, I changed my diet and went into organic foods, got a lot of the garbage out of my diet, and have done other things that have made me tremendously healthy over the last 13 years. But I also meditated and read philosophy books about the idea of non-judgment. It's why I don't hate people who disagree with me. I'll debate them, but I want to leave every conversation with a laugh and a, hey, good talking to you, that kind of thing. Fix your emotional health and your physical health will follow. When I come back, we're going to start talking about this idea of this dementia crisis. A little bit more on mental health, but dementia and Alzheimer's are physical manifestations, you know, that show themselves as mental problems. But this is an environmental thing. Don't be sitting around scared that you're going to lose your mind. I don't know of a bigger fear for most people, particularly my age group, middle-aged people, who realize there's possibly only 10 or 20 good years left before, as they've seen relatives before them, start to lose their cognitive abilities. That is a fear that most people have, even younger people. And what we're seeing in society right now is that where Alzheimer's, dementia, those kinds of things used to be reserved for people in their 90s, 80s, then maybe a little bit in their 70s, they're starting to see things called early onset dementia. People who are losing cognitive ability, losing their minds and ability to recall things in their 40s and their 30s. Like a lot of diseases, they're encroaching. They're becoming younger and younger. And I'm telling you right now, it's not because of genetics. This is environmental and lifestyle choices. We'll talk about that when we come back. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
I have a confession to make. I do all kinds of things for my health. I call them, not I call them, but I've heard this term used, biohacks, things like fasting or other things that I run across that I think are interesting. I'll try them to see how they work. Sometimes I continue with them. Sometimes I'll change and try something else. I'm just always doing things to see how they affect me. You know, ketogenic diet, high-fat diet. I kind of like the way it makes me think. There's all kinds of different things I do. One of the things that I've been doing for the last 6 to 8 months, I would say, are cold showers. I'm talking about cold showers. And I'm not talking about a warm shower and then towards the end I cool it off. That's one of the things that they recommend for getting the benefits of a cold shower, is to start warm and then before you go get out for the last 2 minutes, you make it cold. No, I just turn on the cold water in the shower and I step in. And I do the whole thing, And it kind of makes me laugh. It's like a nervous laugh. I don't know why I'm trying to tell you and narrate a shower session that I've had, but there are benefits to a cold shower. And for the last couple of days with this new weather, I have introduced some warm water. I could not take it anymore. I took a cold shower the other day. And what I do is, I don't even, you know how you turn on the shower and you feel the water? I stopped doing that months ago. I basically crank it all the way to cold, turn on the shower. I don't touch it. because I know what it's going to feel like and I get in. That is much easier to do in the summer than the winter. I took a shower 2 days ago. I'm telling you, I thought I was going to have a stroke. It was like stinging. It almost felt like my body was getting hit by razor blades. It was so cold. But I was fine. I soldiered through that one, and I was fine. But with this weather, I did go off of it. The reason I mention it is because cold showers is something you could take a look at, too. Now, I don't know. I'm telling you, it gets your heart pumping. There's all kinds of – so I don't know if there's heart conditions or things. Maybe you don't want to even try this, but you can do this research yourself. As I say, I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a nothing. I am just a guy with some topics, some things that you can explore for yourself. There's a lot of benefits to cold showers. Warm showers are a very new thing. You know, human beings went a long, long time with no ability to control the temperature of whatever water they were using. So it's new. So human beings have been taking cold showers throughout time. And as sick as we get, I'm always kind of looking at ways to go back to the way human beings as an animal were designed. Here's five advantages to it. Again, if you ever miss the show or you're just interested, you want to find any of the links that I talk about on the show, I'll play audios or stories that I'll cover, and I can't go through the entire story, read a whole one. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you my show notes. Just if you hear a topic that you'd like to look into more, or just do an internet search, benefits of cold showers for something like this. Number one, cold showers burn fat. There are two kinds of fat in your body, white fat and brown fat. White fat is the bad guy. I think the Joker, and brown fat is the good guy. I think Batman. White fat is the body fat we all know and struggle to get rid of. When we consume more calories than our body needs to function and we don't burn these calories for energy, they store it as white fat, which tends to accumulate at your waist, lower back, neck, and thighs. Scandinavian researchers found that exposure to cold temperatures increases the metabolic rate of brown fat by 15-fold, which could help a person drop 9 pounds in a year if sustained. My body fat percentage from being on a ketogenic diet has gone down from about 17% down to around 12%. Maybe the showers are actually helping me, but the showers burn fat. Cold showers burn fat. Cold showers boost recovery after exercise. We've all seen the sports superstars who leave a training session or whatever, and they get into the ice baths. Cold showers increase mood and alertness. It's another thing to tie the mental health aspect to all this. When cold water pours over your body, your breathing deepens in response to the shock of the cold. This is your body trying to keep you warm by increasing overall oxygen intake. Your heart rate will also increase, resulting in a rush of blood through your body that will help you get energized for the day. Cold showers strengthen immunity and circulation. They speed up your metabolic rate, which helps you lose fat. This also increases the rate. It activates your immune system, which releases virus-fighting white blood cells, help you get sick less frequently. Cold showers also increase your overall blood circulation, which can help you avoid hypertension and the hardening of arteries. And the bonus is cold showers give you attractive hair and skin. It's very interesting if you start to actually do this research and look into it. Hot showers actually strip hair of some nutrients. It actually dehydrates skin, can prematurely age skin. Now, I will tell you, this is not for the faint of heart. It takes some getting used to. There's actually other articles that you'll find if you just do an internet search. If you're interested in this, and I mean, I can guarantee you, 2% of the people listening to me would ever even consider a cold shower, but I find it interesting, and it's tolerable. Except for yesterday and today. But there's also the idea that getting into a cold shower, making yourself that uncomfortable first thing in the day, actually starts to lower your guard against being uncomfortable. You know, great success and great advancements in your own life, sometimes you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. If you want to grow as a person, if you want to grow professionally, if you want to grow in your relationship, you have to actually put yourself out there and do things that make you uncomfortable. And there are people who say that doing things like this, exposing yourself voluntarily to something that makes you physically uncomfortable, like a cold shower, actually makes you expand and understand that being uncomfortable is not near as bad as we think it is. We avoid it like the plague, but this actually kind of puts you out there and makes you accomplish more in your life. I know Tony Robbins, I think he's got one of those holes in his backyard. I've seen video of him doing this. It's like a super cold thing, it's not ice to it. I don't know if it's like nitrogen cooled or something. It's kind of a creepy little thing, but he actually just walks out in his backyard. He lives in Hawaii, so this is a little easier for him than maybe for us today. He goes out to his backyard, and you'll see him. He just gets down into his bathing suit, and he just jumps down into this ice cold water. And that's one of the things he does every day. He's, you know, one of our super achievers. Anyway, cold showers, take a look at it. Burn fat, make your skin better, boost your immunity, put you in a better mood. There's a lot of benefits to it if you can overcome the hesitation and actually do it. I've inspired myself again. Tomorrow morning, I'll go back cold or just slightly off of cold water. Come back. We're going to get into this dementia stuff. There's an article I'm going to start with. It's a mainstream article. And I'm going to show you within this article the learned helplessness we have. It is the media and what I believe, too, largely the medical establishment who just present us with the facts that dementia is getting worse. There is no cure. There is no reversing it. This is what we've got. And look how terrifying the numbers are that are coming at us. What articles like this one do, I'm going to combat with another article. What articles like this do is give us a helplessness, a resignation that we're just bound and determined to get sick. Well, there's a lot of alternative health practitioners out there, a lot of functional health people, a lot of naturopaths, a lot of people that study this stuff that will tell you, don't just accept these things that dementia is going from, you know, 1 in 50 to down to 1 in 10, headed to 1 in 3. You can control it. These mainstream articles drive me nuts because they are just about, it's just the headline of this is, we're not prepared for the coming dementia crisis. And there's a lot of people in the alternative health movement, myself included, that say, no, there's a lot we could do to avoid this crisis. It doesn't have to be coming. It means just a little bit of education, and you can spare yourself these horrible cognitive problems later in life. We'll do that when we come back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I spent the first part of the show today talking about how love can improve your mental health and positive thoughts and positive interactions with others as opposed to the hate online and social media and the rest of the ridiculousness. But indulge me for a minute here as I tell you, these kinds of stories, I think they do just legitimately make me mad. So many people live through fear of getting something like Alzheimer's or some form of dementia, and it's largely because a lot of us have seen this ravage our families, and it is scary. My generation, Generation X, and I'm in the leading edge of that as we get into middle age. People, I was talking about this with somebody yesterday or the day before they brought it up. They'd always worried about, you know, getting old and losing their mind. This article is on LMT Online. It was a repost of a New York, it's a Washington Post story. And what makes me angry about this is an article about the fact that Sandra Day O'Connor, the former Supreme Court Justice, has come out and says she's got Alzheimer's. And so they're responding to that. And they're talking in this story about all of the increasing numbers, the ratios. You know, you'll hear, you know, cancer used to be in this country 1 in 30 people got cancer 50 years ago. Now it's 1 in 3, headed towards 1 in 2. And media and the medical establishment points to this as saying, you know, to know your risk factors and let's create programs to deal with those people and let's empower the pharmaceutical companies to try to cure these diseases. You notice they never do. Instead of looking at it and saying, hey, why is cancer going from 1 in 33 to 1 in 3? Why is Alzheimer's going from 1 in 100 to 1 in 10 headed towards 1 in 5? Why are these things happening? And I'm going to show you in just a second kind of why, and the fact you're not helpless for this. All of the people who are predisposed or are going to get Alzheimer's are not the sexiest people in the world. Now, I'm sure there's some very, very sexy people who end up with cognitive problems later in life. But you would think by reading these articles and the helplessness that it's just preordained that all of these horrible genes that God screwed up for us are just prevalent through our society just by the nature of us being human beings. But that's not true, man. It's the diet. It's the nutrition. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a second. But I'm going to read a little bit of this article and tell you why this makes me mad so you can kind of read through these things yourself, not necessarily this article, but any article, and realize the helplessness they're trying to foist on the American people. This article goes on, talks about Sandra Day O'Connor. It says, traditional Medicare is designed to provide medical coverage for participants who are seeking treatments for various diseases. If you develop pneumonia and are admitted to the hospital, everything is covered after the initial copayment. If you need rehabilitation, the first 20 days are generally covered with an additional 80 days covered at a reduced rate, blah, 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 blah. Once you are not improving, you are either discharged home or become a resident of a nursing home under private pay for thousands a month. If you don't have the resources to pay for a nursing home, you can forfeit personal assets to apply for a Medicaid program. Fast forward to the 1 in 10 people older than 65 with Alzheimer's disease on one or one of the many other dementia syndromes. They have a progressive, irreversible, non-curable disease that will continue to worsen despite the best medical care. As they decline, their debility increases, and they require an ever-increasing amount of supervision and physical assistance. Today, the crisis in health care is about how to care for an estimated 5.7 million Americans with Alzheimer's. Our health care system is grossly unprepared to provide medical care for this cohort of patients. And it goes on and on. It's all about how we need to be creating systems to be prepared for this onslaught of dementia and Alzheimer's. It doesn't have to be that way. They just tell you, this is what's coming. We need to get ready for it. We need to get money in the right places and programs set up instead of saying, hey, why is this happening? It didn't used to be this prevalent. Is there possibly something we are doing that is causing this or something we could do to reverse it? They don't even look at these things. They just look at the money side of it and tell everybody, hey, your chances of getting Alzheimer's are a lot better than they used to be. You're going to get this. If not you, somebody that you know and love close to you. Thank you to Brian for sending me this story. This was done on the Today Show a couple of weeks ago, I think. And it's talking about, if I can get my video to cooperate here, give me a second. It's talking about taking transplants from one area of the world where they adhere to a certain kind of diet and transplanting them into the United States. The standard American diet, the problem that we have with the standard American diet is there's not a direct line. It's not like you drink a diet soda and suddenly you have these problems. It's cumulative. It takes a while.
Cleveland may be thousands of miles away from the Mediterranean, but step in.
Let's see if it'll cooperate with me here.
You've got to get in there.
That's going to go back and it let me sneak in there without getting the opening ad. And I don't have a problem with the ads. Look, they're trying to make money. They're giving me free information here on the internet. I don't blame them for selling me an ad, but just make it a little bit more user-friendly.
Cleveland may be thousands of miles away from the Mediterranean, but step into this tiny social hall, and it's like you've landed on an exotic Greek island. It's a celebration of families who all come from Ikaria, a place where people live happy and healthy well into their 90s and even 100s. And they do it with very little risk of Alzheimer's, dementia, or any of the other diseases of old age. But bring these same people and genes to places like Cleveland, and something frightening happens.
When these Icarians come here to Cleveland, you start seeing Alzheimer's at the same rate that you see in the rest of America. They bring all the values here, and they get sick.
You could see that exact scene 1,000 years ago.
For more than a decade, Dan Buettner, a National Geographic fellow and author of The Blue Zone Solution, has been unlocking the secrets of places where people live longer and healthier than anywhere on Earth. He's taken us to Ikaria, Costa Rica,
okay,
and the other Blue Zones. But this time, Dan's come to Cleveland to meet the Jamelis family. Icarians who left the island in the 50s in search of the American dream.
By them moving here, I think they took 20 years off my life.
That's because Jim's mother just became the first person in their family to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
It's terrifying. My mom was as sharp as a tack.
Jim is worried he'll be next.
I thought my genes would protect me to some extent.
All the things that would come naturally in Icaria, he doesn't have any of them here.
He's stressed out. He's eating a bad diet.
He's not very socially connected. He's got all the risk factors that has him like a locomotive towards Alzheimer's.
Sometimes having more isn't better. They had less on the island, but then I think that's why it made them as healthy as they were.
For Jim's sister Tina, the diagnosis is a wake-up call.
And I know that, you know, if you have a mother that has Alzheimer's, your chances are higher of having Alzheimer's.
About 90% of Alzheimer's is preventable. Most of your...
Did you hear that? You know, it's a throwaway line in a four-minute story here. 90% of Alzheimer's is preventable. I just read you a story from the New York Times, reprinted in LMT Online, that just basically tells you the numbers are exploding. More people are getting Alzheimer's than ever. We need to start getting Medicare and Medicaid ready for this. We need to empower pharmaceutical companies to start addressing this problem. No. 90% of this stuff is preventable. Again, I just point to this fact that we've become so helpless to this, to just accept these things, and people do not understand. You don't have to be near as afraid when you know that you've got the power in your own hands to affect your health outcomes.
Your mental health is up to you and the environment you create for yourself.
The biggest part of that.
So Dan shows the family some of the little ways they can bring more of the Icarian lifestyle to Cleveland. First, in the grocery store.
This is big in Icaria, lemons. If you squirt a bit of lemon on almost any food, it lowers the glycemic index. In other words, it slows the sugar absorption. It's not as hard on your brain. You're less likely to develop diabetes. It's one of the great little tricks people in Icaria know instinctively. I want to take you guys over to this park.
Okay.
About 120 different greens have been identified in Icaria. Some of them have 10 times the antioxidants of wine.
But cooking healthy is only part of the battle. How they get their food matters too.
To go anywhere, they have to get in their car.
And over there, they walk everywhere.
Walk everywhere. It's far more important to walk 4 or 5 times a day than it is to work all day long and think you're going to go to the gym at the end of the day.
And when you're driving, instead of walking, you miss something else that keeps the brain sharp.
Your ancestors never even had to try to be social. It just kind of came with the territory.
Right. People came over and they just dropped by, which nobody drops by anymore. You have to plan for it.
One of the most powerful things they can do to protect their brain and live a longer time is move into the right neighborhood. It's on a street where you're likely to meet your neighbors and make friends with your neighbors.
Like on this night, as friends and family gather in the backyard to celebrate their mother's 87th birthday. Her Alzheimer's diagnosis, a lesson for everyone here. Their Icarian genes may not protect them, but the island's healthy lifestyle still can.
And again, this goes back to this idea of genes that has really been so prevalent in the United States. I've seen this, the more we understand genes and decode DNA and these kinds of things, there became a thing where they started saying, well, we can identify the gene that causes Alzheimer's. We can identify the gene that causes breast cancer. And so there became a lot. My understanding, again, I'm not a scientist. I'm an observer and an amateur or personal researcher on this stuff. My understanding is that what happened when they started to identify these genes, then people started getting tested and they started to say, hey, look, you've got this gene. This gene's been associated with Alzheimer's. Doesn't that just scare the crap out of you? But now there is new science emerging on the heels of this where they're saying this is something called epigenetics, which is this idea that just because you have the gene doesn't mean it has to express itself. If you can imagine a long row of light switches on a wall, each one of them being a different gene, and depending on how you live your life, the chemicals you put into your body, what you do with your mind, as I talked about at the beginning of this show, you will either leave a switch off or you will click it on. And unhealthy lifestyle choices click on more of these genes that will express themselves in cancers and Alzheimer's and other chronic conditions. You don't. The switch is not automatically baked into the cake that you're going to get it if you do the right things. And again, we are being conditioned to this learned helplessness, which is science has identified the gene. It's more prevalent than we thought. More people are going to get sick. Medicare is going to be overburdened. I mean, it is looking at all the fatalistic sides of this and trying to convince people that you don't have a choice, just live in fear. I may play a clip when I come back that I've played before. I try very hard. I've got a long page of health topics. Every time I see a health story, and I see a lot in my research, I clip it, I save the link, I put it to a page. I've got pages and pages and pages of different health topics so that I do, and then when I get done with the show, I take off the link that I had before. I make it neutral. I keep it for a reference, but I make it to where I know I've already covered that. But there is one thing, this Alzheimer's stuff, as I read this and I think of the sadness of some families that have to suffer through this, not knowing there's anything they can do because the medical establishment says there's nothing you can do. We're just going to try to make them comfortable. And you can put them on these pills. Now, these pills are going to cause other side effects that are going to actually make them a little bit sicker as a person, but maybe it'll forestall the Alzheimer's. Man, there's natural things you can do. And some people are reporting reverses in this. I'm not guaranteeing you anything, but I'm telling you right now, don't be so fatalistic in this idea that because you have a gene or because society at large is the numbers are increasing. If there's a 1 in 3 chance of getting something, that's not great odds. You've got one third of people are going to get something. So you want to be in the 2/3 that don't. You can almost assure you'll be in the 2/3 that don't get these things if you just pay attention to lifestyle and nutrition. It's not a lottery. It's not a luck thing. Keep yourself out of those. Put yourself on the right side of all those statistics by doing the right thing nutritionally, and you'll be shocked at how many things you can avoid. I may actually replay a clip I've done before. I'll take a look at it during the break. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. What would you do if you had been given just a horrible diagnosis of something like Alzheimer's or cancer or anything like that, and they were told you that you were just going to progress, it was going to get significantly worse, there was really no hope, but somehow you found information that got you to reverse the condition or cure the condition? Imagine you had been involved on your diagnosis. You'd gotten involved with other people. You'd gone to support groups. You'd seen other people suffering from this stuff. And you found the key and you reversed or cured something. What would you do? I'll tell you what I would do. I would do what a lot of people do. I would record a video. I'd start a blog. I would do something to try to get out to the world. Hey, all of you people that are suffering, I know the fear that you have. I beat this thing. It's doable. Because mainstream medicine tells you to be helpless. All we can do at this point is try to keep you comfortable. And YouTube is a fantastic place. Now, there's a difference between somebody that comes on and puts out a YouTube thing and says, I can cure your cancer with this special cocktail, and it's only $39.95 per week. $200 a month, and you can throw away all your pharmaceuticals, I'll cure you. Look, I'll be suspicious of that stuff, too. But I did a search during that because I knew that there was a woman, a Dr. Mary Newport, I believe her name is, who cured her husband with coconut oil. She reversed his cognitive decline when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And she has become very passionate about that. She was a doctor, a scientist. She didn't know about it. She discovered it when her husband was diagnosed. She started implementing it, and it worked, and now she's an advocate for this, and she goes around explaining the story of her husband. I don't have time to play that clip. I am going to play just a couple of minutes of this other man's clip that I'd seen before, too. This is an elderly man. He's 83 years old. I don't have time for the whole video. It's 9 minutes. It says the title of his video is Alzheimer's Disease, How I Stopped and Reversed It. I'll let you listen to a few minutes of him in the remaining time I've got here.
So I can say with the help of my neurologist, I found an effective treatment for this miserable disease. And it's never going to get me. And
let me preface this by saying earlier in this video, he talks about how he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, that he was no longer able to drive and find his way home. He was no longer able to walk around the neighborhood. He would get lost and could not make his way home. He already had this diagnosis. He's come back from that.
The months of mental clarity that the drug Razadyne gave me, I researched and found a daily cocktail of dietary supplements, which along with the Razadyne, you have to take the drug and the cocktail the rest of your life. Stopped and substantially reversed my Alzheimer's disease. So-called experts say that this is impossible, as I said before, and that no one survives this disease. They are wrong. You're looking at somebody who claims he has survived, and you can too, or your loved ones. In the months of mental clarity that the drug gave me, I researched and found why the so-called experts had failed in every attempt they had made. The drug does not have to fail like they think it does.
And he goes on, I believe he talks a lot in here about coconut oil as one of the things, these medium chain triglycerides, healthy fats for your brain. It's a long video. I've got it on my show notes if you want it, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Email me. I'll send it out to you or listen to this podcast at some point or share it with somebody. Here's the thing. That guy is doing, I mean, that's my kind of guy. He got a diagnosis, but he didn't just roll over. He didn't just hear his doctor say, "You got it, man. Tough luck, but you're one of those people that's going to get it, and it's just going to keep getting worse. We'll do what we can to make you comfortable." He was talking earlier in the video. He said, "We've got a drug. It'll give you some mental clarity. It'll buy you a few months." That was it. That was all he was given. He didn't take that. He did his own research, and you have got the world of research at your fingertips right this minute. I guarantee you got a smartphone or a computer around you. And he went, and he used his discernment. He figured out what made sense. He read some articles. He saved himself. Medical system didn't save this man. He saved himself by doing his own research, and he's pulled himself back from the brink of Alzheimer's. This could be done. I can't stand these fatalistic articles that just show us how rates are increasing and that we need to improve the social safety net to take care of all these victims of this terrible disease. Man, we need to take the power back on this stuff. You can control your health to a large degree, Alzheimer's included. Thanks so much for joining me today. That's all the time I've got. This is the Mike Madison Show. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.